So Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word this day and for this time we have to gather around it. We just pray your blessing on this time. Pray you would enable me to speak your words to your people this morning. Bless us through your word this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And the month of May for us in this area is an enjoyable time of year, but it's also a very busy time of year. It is enjoyable because, of course, the days are getting longer and warmer. The nights are not as cold, although it seems this year that the took a little longer for the nights not to get as cold. It's finally we're past the time where it's freezing. But as well, we can go outside, we can enjoy the fresh air, we can enjoy seeing green grass and flowers blooming and the trees leafing out and everything as well. But it's also a busy time, and we recognize that. It's because due to the warming temperatures, it is seeding time and planting time that farmers have been in the fields for weeks getting their crops planted, and many of us have been planting our gardens as well. And all that work is done with the hope and the expectation of a harvest, of there being fruits to our labors. And as a farmer earns his livelihood by that harvest, and the gardener, as they enjoy that fresh homegrown produce, all of us would agree that even though there's a lot of work now that occurs, that when you get to enjoy the harvest and the fruits of the harvest, all that work was well worth it. And teaching us spiritual truth, God explains the unknown and the difficult to be understood to us by what is known and familiar. Excuse me. Andy, we would recognize that in many ways God most likely established and created various things and various processes in this world in certain ways, knowing that he could use those things to teach us about more about himself, to illustrate various spiritual truths that we otherwise would not have ability to understand. And thus do we see God use the idea of sowing and reaping, of seed time and harvest, in various places in the scripture to explain various truths. We find, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 15 that he's giving it in terms of the principle of how the resurrection works, of how that our corruptible bodies are sown in the ground in a sense, but then there will be this reaping where it will be a different body, that it will be incorruptible. But as well, we see in other places it's used a lot in terms of the spreading of the gospel and the saving of souls, of seed that's given, that it bears fruit, and people come to salvation. And so in this passage here in Galatians 6, the principles of sowing and reaping are given in the most straightforward form. And it speaks, we would say, to really the decisions we make, the actions that we take in our lives, and what they're going to produce, both in our lives and in the lives of others in time to come. And in sowing and reaping physically, we could recognize three basic principles that come into play, and we would say that those same basic principles apply to sowing and reaping spiritually as well. First, we would recognize that we always reap what we sow. We don't plant peas and get corn. We don't plant durum and get canola. It's always whatever we put in the ground is going to come up and produce based on what it is. And that's the same spiritually, that we don't sow to the flesh and reap of the Spirit. That doesn't happen. We need to be sowing to the Spirit, as it speaks of here, if we're going to reap of the Spirit. And secondly, we would recognize too that we always reap more than what we sow. And I'm always amazed at how you can take seeds that are so small and plant them, and they produce these humongous plants many times with abundant yields. You think of kind of how big canola seeds are, and then how large of a plant comes from that, and how many seeds are produced on one of those plants with all the various pods. And we think of many other things, sunflowers, we think of even various trees like poplars that can grow so quickly and so large that it just comes from that fuzz that blows through the air and sometimes is rather annoying. But that's what it is produced by, that, just by these little seeds. And it's the same way that we want to realize when it's speaking of spiritual things, that the little things that we do, they can bear much fruit in our lives. And sometimes we have a tendency to overlook these things. We think this is not important, this is not going to make any difference. But we find that in time to come, it can have a great effect, either to the bad or to the good, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. It can be very far-reaching. And we just, too often we underestimate how much of a consequence our actions and our decisions can make. But thirdly, we also realize that we always reap later than we sow. That planting comes in May, but the harvest doesn't come until August and September. There is a time between in which we must wait to enjoy the fruits of our labors. And in the same way, we have to realize that we're not going to see the results of our actions and our decisions for some time. There is that time between that we must wait. And there is going to be fruit in time to come. We can be sure of that. But what we can't be sure of necessarily is when it will come. And so we have to learn to wait. And now it's essentially upon these three principles that any farmer and any gardener does a significant amount of planning before he or she gets to the actual time of seeding and planting, to ensure as much as possible that they're going to have at harvest the desired end product with the desired characteristics and the highest yields. And so there's so much that's spoken of in terms of inputs, of what you're putting into the soil, into the whole planting process, to make sure that you're going to have the highest yields possible. But as well, we realize too, both with farmers and with gardeners, that once harvest is over, there is always a significant amount of time of evaluation where we see, okay, well, what worked this year, what didn't? What do I need to do differently next year? What do I need to do better next year? Sometimes it might be as a gardener that you grow various different varieties, for instance, of tomatoes, and you find out, well, some produced really well, some didn't, some tasted great, some not so good. And so then the next year you decide, well, this is the fruit that I want, and so this is the seed I'm going to produce, and this is maybe I need to add more fertilizer so it produces more, whatever the case might be. And so that's all part of the process. And your design is, as things go, is that you'll improve your yields. And so in the same way, spiritually speaking, I think we need to give significant thought to the future fruit of our decisions that we make and the actions that we take now. And we need to have an awareness and a deliberateness to what we do and to the choices we make. And as well, we need to be constantly evaluating as we begin to reap from what we have sown, so that either we keep doing what is right or we cease from doing what is wrong, so that it won't continue to produce bad fruit in our lives. That we just kind of see that, okay, I'm reaping something that I don't really want in my life. How did it get here? How do I I get that out? How do I change what I'm doing so that doesn't happen? Or if I'm starting to get some good seed, I want to continue that so that it will continue to bear good fruit. And the fact is, thank you, Kirsten. You just pass it to me. The thing is we can't go through life being oblivious to the consequences of rash actions or bad decisions. When things go bad, we can't act like, well, I'm just a victim of my circumstances. How did all these things happen to me? As we become more spiritually mature, we have to become more aware as well. We need to take responsibility for ourselves and for how our lives affect those around us. And all of us, I think, would agree that we want to reap good fruit in our lives and in the lives of other people. We want to see an improvement and an advancement in our Christian life. We want to make progress. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit become more evident in our lives. And as well, we want our lives to bear fruit in the lives of others. We want to make a difference. We don't want to be a burden to people. We want to be a blessing. We want to be a net benefit to them. We want to see that we've made a difference in their life by knowing and relating that person. And so we can think of this in different ways. We can think as parents that it's the thought that we want to impart values and character to our children so that they'll serve the Lord and live fruitful lives in time to come. In a case where we might be a more mature Christian seeking to disciple a younger Christian, or as well as simply as a believer seeking to plant the seeds of the gospel in the hearts and minds of those that are lost around us so that they could get saved. We want the things that we say, the things that we do, to bear good and abundant fruit in time to come. And so in order for each of us to eventually reap good and abundant fruit in our lives and in the lives of others, it's necessary now that we become fully aware and fully focused on the various aspects of sowing, that we may presently be reaping of what we have sowed or what others have sowed. And it might be good fruit, it might be bitter fruit. But if we're to ever see a change or see an improvement, we need to focus on the sowing now. And so we could say that physically speaking, we have passed through seeding time on our calendars. But I want you all to understand that spiritually speaking, that the present is always a seeding time for us. And to ensure the highest yields of good fruit, we, I think, need to recognize essentially four different necessities of the seeding process. And so, first of those is we need to be ensuring that we are planting the proper seed. And I'm not sure what company has it as its slogan, but several times on the radio I've heard the words, "The crop grown is only as good as the seed sown." And that is just as true spiritually as it is physically. If you're going to have a good crop, you need to have good seed. It needs to be fresh seed. Some of you've probably had experience if you've used seed that's too old, that it just doesn't want to germinate properly. Seed needs to be clean seed, not with a bunch of other seeds mixed in it, because essentially what you'll be doing is planting weeds along with your crop, and that's obviously counterproductive, and that's why a lot of farmers pay a fair bit to have their seed clean, so it is going to be a clean, pure seed. And furthermore, you need to plant enough seed to make sure that you have as full of a yield as possible. And this was the first year I got to actually help with seeding, and one of the main things that was impressed on me with running the air seeder is to try to avoid missed strips as much as possible. And it's a shame to have spots in the field where you drive by as a crop's coming up where it's just bare or it's full of weeds. And it can happen in a lot of ways, that maybe you don't get the openers in the ground soon enough, maybe one of the lines was blocked or loose, or maybe just with a turn that you miss a chunk, or sometimes even nowadays they rely on the GPS, but overnight the GPS can actually, the satellites can drift, and so you can have a section, if you're not watching, that can be missed. And so with all this, there's some that I was told that it's always better to seed heavy and to go over a part again rather than to miss spots. Because just to have a part of the field that could have been productive but instead is devoid of crop, it is just really a shame. And so you don't want that. And I think all of the things, these things, we can recognize to have a correlation to sowing spiritually. That we need to be sowing good seed. And the best seed, of course, we can find is from God's Word itself. That as believers, we are to walk by faith. And how does faith come to us? Faith comes to us by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Excuse me. And so, the more we get into God's Word, the more we rely upon the Spirit to illuminate our understanding of it. And then from that we make good decisions and we do good deeds based on a comprehensive understanding of the principles of God's words, then we're going to be planting good seed in our lives and in the lives of others. That just gaining knowledge of the truth but not doing anything with it, just being a hearer of God's word and not a doer, that's not going to help us. That would be the same as having a bin full of seed but never actually putting it into the ground. That we have to do something with it. We have to take it in, and then we have to allow it to take root in our lives, and so that there's going to be fruit. And it's something to think about in a lot of ways. The seed of the word that we plant should be fresh seed. It should stem from our own personal relationship with Christ that we get directly from the Lord. It needs to be clean seed. As well, that it's something that we can have our favorite Christian authors and teachers, but if we're not fully discerning and we can take in everything that they can say as gospel truth, and what can happen, and I've seen this from experience, is that sometimes we can have some good fruit from what they say, but then we can also essentially be bearing some of the bitter fruit as well of planting weeds with what we have. And so we want to be careful of that and discerning. We want to rely upon the Scriptures and upon the Spirit to instruct us in the Scriptures as well. And as well, we need to recognize that when it comes to sowing the good seed of God's Word in our lives and in the lives of others, that we need to seed heavy, that it's not possible for us to overseed the good seed of God's Word. That we have the common expression where some might say, well, I've done my good deed for the day. And sometimes we think of that. Well, I just need to do kind of one good deed a day, and that's it. That's all that's required. But we actually recognize when we look into Titus that it speaks a great deal about good works as believers. It says that Christ gave himself for us that he might, that we might become a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. He says further that we're excuse me, that we're to be ready for every good work, that we're to be careful to maintain good works, and as well, it's we're to learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that we be not unfruitful. And so it's that thought where it's something where we're seeking to do good deeds in other people's lives. We're seeking to make a difference. It speaks of another place in Scripture, of course, speaking about something else, but the same principle holds true. If we sow sparingly, we are going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. It is possible for us to have missed strips in our own lives and in the lives of others, areas where there could have been fruit, but in which, due to inattentiveness, we failed to plant seed when we had the opportunity to do so. And so we don't want to do that. And as we see in Galatians 6 and verse 10, excuse me, Galatians 6 verse 10, it is no coincidence that it comes after what's written in verses 7 and 9. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so that's the thing. Whenever we have opportunity, we need to make the most of it. We need to seed heavily of the good seed of God's Word. But secondly, we also realize it is a necessity to have an abundant harvest. It's a necessity that the soil in which we place the seed is properly prepared. If the ground that we plant a crop in, or the ground that we plant our garden in, is too hard, or if it's full of weeds, the seed is going to have a hard time growing. And we realize that is what Jesus referred to in his parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils, is found in Luke chapter 8. That God's word is the good seed, of that there is no doubt. But its fruitfulness in a life depends greatly on the heart in which it falls. For some, sadly, it never takes root, that the devil seems to snatch it away immediately. For others, it starts to bear a bitter fruit, but when things get difficult, they forsake what the word says. And it is sad, even though that is when they have difficult times, it's the word that they need to hold on the most to get them through those difficult times. For others, it may be a case where there's just too many other things that are in their lives that act as weeds, and they get in the way and prevent them from having the fruitfulness that God desires for them. Excuse me. But as Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 8, there's that last group of ground, that of people that would refer to as the good ground. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, he refers to this. He says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." And so it's a thought that we need to evaluate what kind of ground we are and take the necessary steps to prepare our hearts to receive his word. And essentially that is the point that Jesus was trying to get across in this parable, as he speaks of in verse number 18 of Luke chapter 8, where he says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." That we need to be listening. We need to be paying attention to what God has to say and responding to it. Excuse me. And that's why we see the expression in Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, where he says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." That's not what we want to do in our lives. That we want our lives to be broken up, to be usable for the Lord, to be prepared for receiving his good seed. And that comes as we humble ourselves before the Lord, that we learn to submit to his authority in our lives and to the authority that his word rightly holds over our lives. That we need to also be pulling weeds too, that evaluating and making sure that there isn't all these extra things in our life that's choking out the word and making it unfruitful. That we don't want to be so crammed with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life that we bear no fruit to perfection. And so it is that time that we need to take to evaluate and to prepare our hearts so that God can work in and through us. Thirdly, for us to bear fruit in our own lives and in the lives of others, we need much prayer for God to provide the increase. That farmers all across this area, we would say, have done all that they can to have a good crop, whether it's getting good seed, good fertilizer, preparing the soil, what have you. But ultimately, they are all absolutely dependent upon God to provide the rain in due season. Without the rain, all efforts that they make can be in vain. But when the rain comes at the right time, what a difference it can make, what a fruitfulness it can affect in various plants. That we can't make it rain, that we can't cause that to happen ourselves. All we can do is pray that God will send the rain. And in the same way that we realize that as humans, we can only do so much, that we must rely upon God to give the increase, to have the seed we plant sprout and grow and flourish. Excuse me. And so especially when it comes, for instance, to our children and to younger Christians that we're seeking to disciple, or to our lost neighbors, that we need to get on our knees before God, that he might do a work in the hearts of those around us, so that good fruit might be produced in abundance. It speaks in Hosea chapter 10 in verse 12, where it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." And there's so much meaning to what's spoken of in that verse, of just the thought of what we need to do for ourselves, that we need to be sowing in righteousness. We need to be breaking up our fallow ground, making it prepared, but as well that we need to be seeking the Lord. And as we seek him, and we continue to seek him, as it says there, till he come and rain righteousness upon us. That it's so crucial, it's so necessary in the spiritual realm that we rely upon him, as the one hymn speaks of. Just the idea of these showers of blessing that we need, that we pray that the Lord would send them to us, that we would see his power known and experienced in our lives and the lives of others. But finally, we need to be, in order to have a good crop and to bear fruit in our lives, it's necessary that we be patient and persistent. There's many farmers that would say that, well, they've had some good years lately, but there is several years where it wasn't so good. That I know, talking with some, that there were years where they didn't even take the combine out because there wasn't anything to harvest. That they had some rough times, that lately it's been a lot better, but it's kind of, they've had to go through some difficult times to get to these good times that they've enjoyed now. That there's some bad years that have to be endured before the good years really come into play. And that's the thing, is that when we're trying to do what is right, we're trying to make a difference, we're sowing good seed, the reaping of what we sowed, it always comes later, and sometimes it seems much later. And it can seem that our efforts are in vain, especially as we might be reaping some bad fruit that was sown either by us or by others in times past. And we can get discouraged. We can think, well, are my efforts going to amount to anything? Am I ever going to stop reaping this bad fruit and start reaping the good fruit at some point? But nevertheless, as it declares in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That we need to bring forth fruit with patience. And we do that by continually sowing the good seed now. That for us to cease to sow good seed, what is that going to accomplish? All it's going to do is it's going to serve to diminish our future yield in time to come. That we need to keep at it. We need to be patient. We need to be persistent. And having that hope of this promise that we have here in verse number 9. That we will, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That we need to continue and not be discouraged. And be certain that we will rejoice in time to come. And it speaks of this in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And so we need to cling to that promise and be faithful in sowing the good seed, that we need to be able to wait for the harvest, which surely will come one day, that we may fully see all the fruit that we produce now in our lives, that honestly we recognize for many that it might be, we can have an effect that might be many generations after us, that we don't know what the fruit of our decisions or fruit of our deeds may be right now, but we know that we need to continue to sow good seed, trusting that it will make a difference in time to come. And it's a thought that as we are faithful, that who knows what might come. That, and that's the thought, that what we sow, there's going to be much more produced from that seed. And so the more we sow, the more we will reap. And how amazing it may be in time to come when we get to, God gives us a glimpse of the difference He was able to make in our lives as we were faithful in doing what He asked us to do. And so may the Lord help us all in this, that we would not faint, that we would not be weary in well-doing, that we would continue faithfully to sow to the Spirit. Excuse me. So that in time to come, when we do see the harvest, that we can greatly rejoice in Him. Let's turn to our last hymn, number 420.